At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Monday morning, October 21st, 2019, the Beating the Book podcast. It's Gil Alexander guessing lines. Week 8, the interactive first salvo towards handicapping future week lines of the National Football League. Hope you enjoyed. Tribute to the old Stardust show with Roxy Roxborough back in the day. And as always, the man who puts it all together, the man who keeps it together, the sportsbook director at the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. That's Chrissy Andrews. He in Los Angeles. Hopefully we'll get him back in Las Vegas in the coming weeks, if not next week. We take a crack at it. Our search for value in a year when the haves and the have-nots, the chasm between them just gets wider and wider. Guessing Lines with Chris Andrews. Enjoy right here on the Beating the Book podcast.
It's an information network, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Sling Game Plus, all down the line. It is Gil Alexander. Producer number 5, Jeff Parlay, is here as well. I believe that is the pronunciation of his last name. Parlay, what's happening?
Good morning, Gil.
Yesterday, let me just say this about Guessing Lines, because for those of you who are tuning in this morning, you're like, well, it's Guessing Lines this morning, right? Of course it is, for goodness sake. Week 8 in the National Football League. We'll be guessing lines with Chris Andrews, who we'll bring in here momentarily. But let me just say this off the top. Well, let's bring in Chrissy, for goodness sake, from somewhere in L.A. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the sportsbook director of the South Point Hotel Casino right here. Perhaps back in the fold here within a couple weeks. We'll get a read on that. It's Chris Andrews, my mishpucha. Good morning, Chrissy.
Hey, Gilly. What's going on, pal?
How you doing? Are we within a couple weeks, maybe? Maybe?
Well, maybe within a couple days, but I don't want to count anything.
All right.
I had a test last Wednesday. Listen, I don't know if anybody's interested, but a bone marrow biopsy, which is painful as hell. And anyway, the results, it takes a while to get the results. I see the results tomorrow. If everything's good, they're releasing me, and I hope to be back in Las Vegas Tuesday night.
Wow.
So, keeping my fingers crossed.
Yes,
keeping my fingers crossed.
We all
not
are
counting anything yet.
Listen, and don't ever say we're not interested. We are interested. We want to know. But bone marrow biopsy, just to the last thing about that. Oh. You said it's painful?
Well, it's not so much painful. They shoot you up. Well, first of all, they give you morphine before you get it.
Let's hope.
That is one plus.
Yeah.
You know, and then they shoot you up with a local. So it doesn't hurt that bad when you do it, but it just hurts for days and days afterwards, including, you know, still. So it's been like 5 days, and, you know, my back is still pretty tender, you know, from it. It'll take a little while. But meanwhile, I was hoping that's the last one I have to get. And they told me, no, you're going to have to get at least two more. Oh, great. You know, so.
Well,
anyway.
I guess let that be the worst of it, given.
Yeah.
Know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, at least I get morphine. So what the hell, you know, so.
Okay.
At least.
Well,
it's not the worst thing in the world.
Well, we hope to get you back here within a couple of days. How did you do as the head bookmaker here at the director of the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, how did you do this weekend?
You know, they both good days. You know, Saturday, you know, we didn't have any like huge wins, but we just grinded out a real nice day. And yesterday, you know, we had some big wins, we had some big losses, but once the dust settled at the end of the night, we wound up with a pretty good day. And again, not great, not really great, but pretty good. Yeah, so no complaints for the whole weekend. And I got to tell you, the handle overall, I think the biggest Saturday and Sunday combined since I've been here, you know, other than like a Super Bowl or something like that. So our business is growing. That has to make Mr. Vaughn very happy. You know, we do a lot of little things. Like I say, it doesn't necessarily get you on ESPN and that sort of stuff, but we take pride in taking care of our customers. And that's one of the things I think we do really well.
Yeah. And I wonder if you'll be able to say that, oh, biggest handle of a weekend. I wonder if you'll be able to say that time and time again this year, maybe not every week, but I'm guessing you might.
Yeah. It seems to be growing. Like last night I was looking and we didn't quite get there. I think a week before, maybe 2 weeks ago, I said we had the biggest handle in a game since I'd been here. And I thought maybe the Philly-Dallas game would get there. Didn't quite get there. But it was a pretty big handle on that game. And again, a lot of that has to do around the three, because we don't move the juice. We only move the number. We keep everything at 11 to 10. And, you know, sometimes it works against us. But, you know, overall, it has worked for us. Because, like I said, guys come into the you come into the South Point, you might not get the number you want, but you are going to lay 11 to 10. You aren't going to get any of these, you know, fancy numbers associated with the three or the seven or whatever some other guys do. You know, you're going to lay 11 to 10 here. And I think our customers appreciate that.
Last week, as heard on VSiN, Jeff Parles, Minnesota and Philadelphia was the highest handle game of any non-postseason game ever at South Point. Do we have anything exceed that this past week?
With me? No. Like I said, the Philly-Dallas game came close. It did not exceed that. Yeah,
wow.
It did not exceed that.
Okay.
The overall handle for the 2 days was fantastic.
All right. So let me just say this. I don't often we're not in the hey, look at us, look what I did kind of thing here. But Guessing Lines has been an institution here. We have paid tribute to the Stardust show, Roxy's old Stardust show, so from so many years ago. With the Guessing Line show, you and I in podcast form for many years. And now, of course, on a numbers game, which is also in podcast form. Let me just say this. The way that the NFL is going, the haves and the have-nots, the chasm growing between them. And so my guesses, right, have been, as a result of that sort of dynamic, further and further off than in previous years. And it sort of makes sense. And let me just say this. On Guessing Lines, our read of what the market ought to be has been consistently better than what comes out here on Mondays. So this weekend, for instance, we were able to use that, and the only thing that I missed on it was a push with the Niners. Niners, historically, the Redskins, only the second team in the modern era to not cover, or excuse me, to cover, rather, while scoring 0 points. But that was a push in contest. But essentially, we've been better on New Orleans week after week than what the market has suggested. I've had New Orleans favored the last 2 weeks. Incredulous about the Dolphins catching all those points against the Bills. By the way, even more incredulous later in the week when it was Ryan Fitzpatrick announced and it didn't move at all. So as much as some of these guesses appear to be laughable on Monday, the market tends to come to us, or the results bear it out in the end. So we're kind of on fire with the guesses here. Now, I'm sure there'll be some laughers today, but that's what makes this a fascinating exercise. That's why we love this, Chris. And as always, you post these right after the show, right?
Yeah, right. As soon as we hang up, I call Lou and we get these numbers up. Let me, you know, a guy who's not necessarily a friend of our show, but a friend of VSiN, Aaron Renning, a guy that I've known for quite a while, and I highly respect Aaron. And he framed it about as well as I could think to do it. And he said, you don't want to think parallel with a bookmaker. You want to think perpendicular to the bookmaker.
That's
otherwise,
right.
If we all think the same,
there's no point in this. Right.
And I laugh. There was a guy I worked with many, many years ago, and I was just a ticker writer. And he says, I'm going to put up a line so good nobody's going to bet.
Great.
I don't think that's really the function of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, that's right.
Even as a young kid, I'm thinking, I don't think that's right.
well said by Aaron Rennie. That's right. Because if the point is not to guess them accurately, then we'd have nothing to talk about. There'd be no point in the exercise.
Right.
The point is to find a couple, maybe more than a couple or a few, where there seems to be a difference and therefore perhaps some value. That said, let's start Thursday Night Football Week 8 in the National Football League. Chris, what do you got?
Oh, you'll love this one, Gilly. Washington at Minnesota.
Yeah. Knowing the Redskins, I kind of knew this one was coming. The Kirk Cousins game. For those who will absolutely crush that storyline all week long. Look, last week, I thought the Thursday game was super duper value. That was one of the ones where I said this should be Kansas City more than 3. It ended up being Kansas City just by 3 on a Thursday night, and we pounded Kansas City as a result of really the guessing lines discussion. Here, I would say, obviously, this is a different dynamic entirely because Minnesota is going to be hugely favored. They're at home. By the way, the Redskins yesterday, Case Keenum and the Redskins lose to the Niners 9-0. Do we have that tweet from Doug Kazarian, Jeff? This is historic. NFL gambling history, the Redskins became just the second team in the past 25 seasons to cover a point spread without scoring. Only other occurrence, 2007, Miami lost 3-0 to Pittsburgh as 16-point dogs. So the Skins, the only team to get us out of the win column with the push in Cirque yesterday. Case Keenum, 9 of 12 on a FedEx field that was, listen, that's a field that they can't seem to get together even in the best of weather. And they use the excuse, oh, Mid-Atlantic region. I'm like, Mid-Atlantic, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They can't get that field. That's your job. Get that field ready. They can't. In the rain, it was just a slop fest. And so when Michael Lombardi asked me on Lombardi Line yesterday, why do I think this line doesn't continue to go up? My only answer was, it's got to be the weather. And sharp bettors have got to have figured out that the field is going to impact this. Keenum was 9 of 12 for 77 yards. 0 touchdowns, 0 picks, 50 passing yards if you factor in sacks. The Skins mustered a grand total of 154 total yards. That was their 8th loss in a row, by the way, at FedEx. This is at Minnesota. Kirk Cousins yesterday. He's the greatest quarterback who's ever lived, Chrissy, obviously. 24 of 34, 337, 4 touchdowns, no picks, wasn't sacked. He connected with Stephon Diggs on a 66-yard pass from deep in their own territory with a little over 2 minutes left. After matching a career high with the 4 touchdown passes, he leads the Vikings to a 42-30 win over the Lions. Led the Vikings on 4 straight touchdown drives starting in the first quarter, ending in the third. He's the first quarterback in league history to throw for at least 300 yards with a 130-plus passer rating in 3 straight games. That's Kirk Cousins, everybody. And, of course, Dalvin Cook, 25 of 142, 2 touchdowns. Diggs, 7 catches for 142. Outgained the Lions 503 to 433. Adam Thielen, though, is a question mark here. He had a game-ending hamstring injury in the first quarter after he was hurt while scoring his 7th touchdown of the year. Mike Zimmer did not have an update on his condition after the game. I will say that 14 would be too short. I will say 14.5 here in favor of the Vikings.
You're a little light. It's 16. And knowing how these Thursday night games go, you know, I have a feeling we're going to touch 17 at some point in the week. And again, I'm not trying to tell you the winner. If I was Zimmer, I would definitely put Thielen on the bench. He's a really important player to them. I would hope they don't need him in a game like this because they certainly have plenty of other weapons. I'm going to open 16.5. Like I said, a little tick above the market. I see pretty much all 16. But I'm going to open 16.5. I have a feeling we're going to hit 17. A lot of public money on these Thursday games. Although the wise guys definitely come in and play. Like you talked about the Kansas City game last week. Wise guys were all over Denver in that game. All over.
Yeah.
I mean, the public overpowered them pretty much. You know, but they were. So the wise guys certainly aren't shy about taking some big numbers, no matter what day of the week it is. And I have a feeling they might come in on Washington. But Minnesota yesterday, that was a bad game for us. Public and really wise guy money on Minnesota pushed it up. We wound up going to 3 at one point. We finally got a little bit of money back at 3. But the wise guys were all over Minnesota. And really, this team is playing really, really well right now. I don't know what's gotten into Kirk Cousins because I still look at him and I'm not sure how good he is, but he's certainly playing really, really well right now. And I think part of it, you have to look at coaching. I think that's helped him a lot. The defense, you know, although the defense didn't stop Detroit much yesterday, but the defense is pretty good. And he's got some good weapons. You know, he's got Dalvin Cook. He's got Diggs. You know, and even though Thielen, I think he only caught one pass yesterday, even though it was a great catch for a touchdown. But, you know, besides him, they still have other weapons. So there's a lot of things around Kirk Cousins that are really helping him. And listen, you know, sometimes a quarterback has to be like a point guard and just distribute the ball. And right now he's doing that really well. So anyway, I'm going to open that 16.5. I have a feeling we'll touch 17 at one point. But anyway, that's what I think. And by the way, that Washington game for us was really, really good yesterday. It started off, that was the first final to go in and started us off on a pretty good day.
Yeah, and San Francisco just basically ran out of time there at the end, more or less,
right,
and had to kick a field goal, right, or didn't, or just played for a field goal. They certainly didn't want to throw the ball around the yard when the Redskins had no timeouts left. All right, how many early Sunday games, how many late Sunday games do we have this week?
I think we got, let me see. Hang on, I got to get down. That my computer's a little slow here. See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 early, 3 late, and then the primetime games.
Okay.
Two teams on a bye, Dallas and Baltimore.
Dallas and Baltimore on byes. All right, we'll get to both of those teams. For those unfamiliar, we go through these and we'll rehash yesterday's games with lots to say about certain games. Let's do one from the morning on Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Giants at Detroit.
Giants yesterday lose to the Cardinals. That game got to 3.5 late in favor of the Giants pre-flop yesterday. Yeah. Saquon came back, 18 carries, 72 yards, a touchdown. Daniel Jones, 22 of 35, 223, one touchdown, a pick. He was sacked 8 times, Chris. 8 times by the Cardinals. The Giants were -3 in turnovers. It's their third straight loss. Pat Shurmur winless in 5 challenges this season. I like that little note in the game. Not doing well on challenges either. So they lose. They're 2-5 now. Detroit, as we just mentioned, lose to the Vikings. But Matthew Stafford, 30 of 45, 364, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 2 times. By the way, he's the fastest quarterback to reach 40,000 yards passing in NFL history. How about that? Danny Amendola, 8 for 105. Catches, 8 for 105. Marvin Jones Jr., 10 catches for 93 yards and 4, count them, 4 touchdowns for Marvin Jones. And the Lions, they lose their third straight game after a 2-0-1 start. They're now 2-3-1. As everybody in Detroit can tell you, it's just another year for the Lions, who are in the cellar there in the NFC North. All that said, it's at Detroit. I'll say Detroit -6.
A little light. Detroit 7. And I see 7, a couple spots with some juice on the dog. I think 7 is probably a high watermark.
Yeah.
But I think 7's okay here. You know, Detroit's lost a couple of heartbreakers. And as well as Minnesota played yesterday, Detroit hung in there with them. I mean, you know, I know the defense didn't do much to stop Minnesota, but their offense, I thought, really looked pretty good. Most of that's on Stafford. You talk about him being the first to 40,000 yards. A lot of that has to do with the fact that he's probably been behind most of his career, and he had to throw. You know, but he wasn't bad yesterday. And they had some pretty decent results on offense, and just the Giants look like they're heading in the wrong direction right now, even though the wise guys pounded them pretty good yesterday. That was another very good result for us. So I am going to open 7. Like I said, I think that's a high watermark. I could see where the sharp players will come in and take the Giants, but boy, I'm sure we'll want to take a bet at 7 with these two teams.
I don't have a problem with 7. I probably did go light there. Let's do one more.
Excuse me, Tampa Bay at Tennessee.
Jeez. Tampa Bay at Tennessee. All right, let me just guess this one first before I even talk about it. This has to be 3, I would imagine, in favor of Tennessee. Tannehill yesterday. Let me just say this about, before we get to the ending sequence of that Tennessee, Jeff's already rolling his eyes at this. Before we get to the closing sequence of that Tennessee Chargers game yesterday, the Titans Chargers game, let me just say this. Ryan Tannehill, 23 of 29, 312. 312 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Now, here's the thing about him. If you watch that game, he completed a lot of passes in tight quarters. I was very impressed by him as an improvement. And look, he's not going to set the world on fire, Ryan Tannehill, for goodness sake. It's still him. But he was so much better to me than Marcus Mariota was. And Marcus Mariota, whose primary skill is not turning the ball over. But really, Tannehill was so much more effective for them, I thought. So the end of this game yesterday between the Titans and the Chargers. By the way, Tampa Bay obviously coming off a bye. When last we saw them, they were in London getting beat by the Carolina Panthers, so they have extra rest here. But I'll say Tennessee minus three. The closing sequence of that game yesterday, which was just sort of very controversial, and one of these things where, here it is, by the way, here's Will Brinson's tweet. Chargers got to the one-yard line and, one, got 10 free seconds from Mike Vrabel. Two, committed a false start. Three, drew a defensive PI. Four, got a touchdown. Five, had it reversed. Six, ran the ball again. Seven, fumbled. Eight, lost. it's a great tweet from Will Brinson. But essentially, if you missed it yesterday, Jarrell Casey recovered a fumble by Melvin Gordon at the goal line with 15 seconds left. Tennessee pulled out a 23-20 victory Sunday over the Chargers. After a frantic final minute, the Chargers thought they had scored the go-ahead touchdown not once, but twice. Yeah. In the final 44 seconds, only to lose both on review by the replay official. That official also overturned Gordon being stopped on the Chargers' final play. Phillip Rivers' first one was the pass to Austin Eckler, took 16 yards, was ruled a touchdown, only to be reversed by the replay official for not breaking the plane as he was tackled by Kenny Vaccaro and Logan Ryan at the one. And then after a false start, Malcolm Butler then was flagged for defensive pass interference on Mike Williams in the end zone. That gave the Chargers again the ball at the one. Gordon went over right tackle with 34 seconds left for what officials ruled a one-yard touchdown, and the replay official then reversed the call for the second time in what became a run for no gain. That set up Gordon's final run with 19 seconds left. Shenanigans, Chrissy. This was one of these games where if you had Tennessee, which I did, by the way, please, if I ever complain about anything else ever again, remind me of this game, right? Because I think the officials got it right, but the notion that all of that ended up going my way is just an unbelievable upset. If you are a Chargers fan or a Chargers backer, first of all, if you're a Chargers backer, you're probably like, no, they didn't get it right. Multiple times, you probably thought that. I would disagree with you. But if you're a Chargers fan, or if you're just an observer of the Chargers, this was the most Chargers thing ever. And I have said on this show, and I brought it up via Twitter yesterday, we have said on a numbers game on numerous occasions, too many to count, Phillip Rivers never sneaks the football. Find me footage of any time in his career where Phillip Rivers sneaks. It's almost as if it's in his contract, and yesterday to me proved that. Like, if you're not sneaking there, you're never sneaking. And Tennessee gets the win. The Chargers fall to 2-5. Tennessee's 3-4. As far as this game, Tennessee minus three over Tampa Bay. I think that has to be the line.
I like your number better. It's really 2.5, and I even see some twos. Mm. On this show, I'm going to say that I'm going to open at 2.5, but I tell you right now, I might wind up opening at three just to take a bet because I think this has to go to three. Tannehill was not bad yesterday. Where's my notes? You know, one thing that was impressed me by him, 10.8 yards per attempt. And that's one of the first things I look at. And a lot of guys look at that. That impressed me. You know, I think that did he learn? I don't know. Cause it's not like some rookie that all of a sudden we're looking at for the first time. He's been around for quite a while, but he played really well yesterday. And I don't think Tennessee has all that many tools to make him that much better than he has been. But I thought he really played well. I know you've been anti-Mariota for a long time.
Yes, I have.
And I really probably should have listened to you because I think you're definitely right. So it looks like a big improvement to me over Mariota. And why they're not a full three over Tampa Bay, you know, I really don't know. So on this show right now, I'm going to say 2.5, but I'm going to think about this one. I might open three and take a bet because I think we will get to three. I guess we'll get to the Chargers. They're after the next game up. But, boy, they do a lot of chargery things. And I'm sure our friend E down in San Diego, I think still a Charger fan just because he loves the punishment. But I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about that. But you're right about the sneak. And I'm not sure the refs got it right. I really thought that first one was a touchdown for sure. And how they could overrule that second one, I mean, that was a massive body. You know, not right or wrong, but how could they overrule the call in the field? I just don't know.
Well, we'll talk about it a little further.
Obviously, I needed the Chargers, too, so I'm sure my opinion's a bit tainted.
Yeah, I think we, well, listen, I think we all might be tainted by where our where our agenda was, where our needs were monetarily in that one. We'll come back. We'll bring up the Chargers game as we continue with this.
Okay.
Guessing lines, week 8 in the National Football League. It's a numbers game right here on VSiN, brought to you by the BetMGM app, of course. We're first-time players. Can get in on the action with a first bet completely risk-free up to $500. The same guys that brought you the Borgata, of course, in Atlantic City. Atlantic City's premier hotel and casino. Be with you all season long here in football with a wide variety of betting options and easy deposit and withdrawal methods. Just download the app. Use the bonus code VSIN500 at sign up to get your $500 risk-free bet. Bonus code VSIN500 to place your first BetMGM, a wager risk-free. You can sign up anywhere, but you got to be in the state of New Jersey to place a bet. BetMGM, it's how you play the game. Download the app today. Got to be 21 or older. New Jersey only. Restrictions apply. Coming back, more Week 8 guessing lines on A Numbers Game at VSIN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Let's bring in producer number 5, Jeff Parles, here for a second. The end of that Tennessee-LA Chargers game yesterday. What do you think the officials got right? What do you think they got wrong?
First off, precursor to this, I had Chargers in-game plus 3.5. So that whole sequence worked perfectly for me.
Yeah.
Here's what I actually agree with what Chris said. I thought the first touchdown, the Eckler touchdown, that was overturned. I didn't think they had a good enough angle to overturn that. I thought that should have stood on the field as a touchdown. The first Gordon touchdown to be overturned, so the second touchdown to be overturned, I thought he was down. I thought they got that one correctly. The third one, I lost the football in the whole scrum.
It was clearly a fumble.
If it was clearly a fumble, yes. Jarrell Casey clearly ended up with the ball. So I think they ended up getting that one correct.
That one they got right for sure.
So it was first one I didn't like the overturn. Second one they got right. Third, if the ball's loose, clear fumble.
How about we're missing the sequence before that when the Titans had the ball and on a third down play, they marked it probably way closer to the down marker than it should have been. And then on fourth down, he may have gotten it, but they marked it short, and then Vrabel didn't challenge it.
Yeah, I have no idea why Vrabel didn't challenge that. Because I thought he got it on the fourth down. And you are right. It was fourth and inches with the way they marked it. It should have been fourth and a whole yard, and maybe even a yard and a few inches.
I wish there was a way to capture the audio. I was in a sports book yesterday, and we didn't have the sound of the game because obviously the two other games that were going on at the time were much more marquee and much more bet upon, the Baltimore-Seattle game and, of course, the New Orleans-Chicago game. So we were left, those of us betting on this game, in this frantic, we don't know what the heck is going on, debate with each other at every turn. And I wish we could capture that audio and run that back today. But it was very apparent on the last one, on the last play with the fumble, that Tennessee was going to win that game. Because we were like, wait, no. That's, and then we were worried, I was worried, wait a minute, do they get the ball at the 1 yard line? And then are the Titans going to take a safety? And it was like, no, it's a touchback because he got it in the end zone. So there was all kinds of things that could have gone wrong as far as the spread. But interesting that you thought, you both and Chrissy believe that the first one should not have been overturned. We didn't see the ball, but it did look like when his butt was down, there couldn't have been any part of his body at the goal line. I don't know. Maybe it's my money talking. Maybe it's your money talking. Who knows? It's an interesting debate for sure. We'll talk about it for weeks. Let's go to the next game. Chrissy, we'll bring you back in here. You said the Chargers is the next game?
Chargers in San Diego, and I guess you got this message too from our friend E, San Diego.
Oh,
he messaged us.
I didn't check the phone yet. Yeah,
you got to check your message.
Okay. I can only imagine.
You can probably imagine. Anyway, we got the Chargers at Chicago.
Oh, speak of the devil. Well, first of all, Rivers yesterday for the Chargers, 24 of 38, 329, 2 touchdowns, no picks. But again, he doesn't sneak. Austin Eckler, who should be the entire Chargers offense, should revolve around him. And the entrance of Melvin Gordon has screwed up everything. 7 catches, 118, touchdown. Chargers have lost 3 straight, 5 of their past 6. Their offensive line was already banged up with Mike Pouncey out, Russell Okung trying to work his way back. He has blood clots, but then Forrest Lamp, their left guard, hurt an ankle midway through the second quarter. He was carted off the field as well. So they are banged up on the offensive line. Chicago yesterday, and if the ghost of Michael Lombardi was here right now, we'll have him on the show tomorrow. But this was Michael Lombardi's Citizen Kane for Mitchell Trubisky yesterday. 34 of 54 for 251. if you look at the box score, that's what you see. You're like, oh, 34 of 51, 251. Now, forget 34 of 54. Forget the fact that he threw the ball 54 times, right, coming off the injury. Yeah. That's another matter for Matt Nagy to talk about. Two touchdowns, no picks. But of those 251 yards passing, got this one, Jeff? Listen to this. 138 of the 251 were in the last 4 minutes and 25 seconds of the game. So really, he did nothing. He said his shoulder was fine. Allen Robinson was his favorite target, 10 of 87 for a touchdown. But they were 2 of 12 on third down against New Orleans. They set a franchise record, the Bears did, and I'll put record in quotes, of 7 carries. 7 carries. That's a franchise low. 17 yards rushing, by far their fewest this season. And really all the fans had to cheer for was that Cordarrelle Patterson 102-yard kickoff return. The Bears gave up a season-high 424 yards in their loss to the Saints while being held at 252. They managed just 4 first downs through the first 3 quarters. Wow. So you got the Chargers coming off that loss. You got the Bears coming off that Trubisky game. And I'll just put it in no man's land between 3 and 7 and say Bears minus 5.5.
Wow, you're dead on. It's 5.5. I see a couple of fives. I'm going to open this 5 because this is the kind of game where the Chargers will cover. Will they win? I have no idea. Right. But it's the kind of game. And, you know, we say in the NFL, you always want to buy low, sell high. Well, you're buying low on both these teams right now. I think I mentioned yards per attempt. Really one of the first things I look at. Mitch Trubisky, 4.6 yards per attempt. That was a low watermark. I'm pretty sure. I have to look at my notes here. But I'm pretty sure that was the worst yards per attempt from any quarterback in the NFL yesterday. And he really was pitiful. And they ran the ball 7 times for 17 yards. So he's not getting much help either. Their defense is pretty good. But this is one of those games, though. This was a really good game for us yesterday. All the money was on the Bears. And I remember just telling my guys.
I do not understand.
Yeah, I mean, we might win or lose. God knows. I mean, we lose plenty of games. Lord knows. But I just did not see the attraction with the Bears. I just didn't see it. And, you know, you could say, well, Teddy Bridgewater's kind of fake and, you know, not really playing as well as his record indicates. And, you know, I get all that. You know, and they did have a lot of injuries on New Orleans. But still, you're laying that many points. I mean, we closed this game 5 yesterday. You know, I just couldn't understand it. Matter of fact, I'm looking at my sheet from last week. I like New Orleans plus the 3.5 is what, you know, what it opened. You know, on the point of 5.
Well, I mean, look, we get. I'm the first person to admit it. Get a lot wrong in the National Football League. But we've sort of hit our stride, and New Orleans is the best example of that. Both weeks now, both against Jacksonville last week, against the Bears yesterday, I had New Orleans favored in both of those games on guessing lines. New Orleans appears to be, based on what we've seen with Philadelphia, based on, I mean, obviously people in Dallas and Minnesota and Green Bay and other places are going to have something to say about it. San Francisco is undefeated. But, man, it's hard to make a case that New Orleans isn't at the top of their game right now with a backup quarterback, right? I mean, they look fabulous. On defense, they win different ways, too, right? They blocked a punt. I mean, they're a well-rounded team, but yeah,
they're well coached, and they got a lot of good players. And they had some holes in the lineup yesterday with players missing, but you'd never know it. Certainly by looking at the final score, they're well coached. They've done a good job drafting and picking up free agents, et cetera, et cetera. That's a good team. And anyway, we're going back to Chicago and the Chargers. I think 5 is what I'm going to open. Like I said, I kind of lean towards the Chargers in this game. As heartbreaking as that was yesterday, and they did some good things. And, you know, I mean, how long are we going to have faith in Trubisky? I think the Chicago people are getting extremely frustrated. Fans, I'm talking about. I'm not sure when management is going to start pulling the plug, but he does not look like the answer. And they traded up to draft him number 2 overall. I mean, even at that time, I was not sure why that was. He just had a very brief career in North Carolina, and I didn't think it was all that great. But somehow the scouts, you know, fell in love with him. And, you know, that seems to happen every year with a lot of quarterbacks. And that's why we get a lot of busts out of the first-round quarterbacks.
And that's not that's not armchair quarterback. And we said it that day. Like, how are you?
We did,
Deshaun Watson, who we saw win a national championship, right? Like, it just made no sense. Anyway. So you're opening 5 on that.
I'm going to open 5. I got to tell you, I kind of lean towards the Chargers in this one.
Hmm. I do think that was the game yesterday. That might have been the tipping point for a lot of Trubisky apologists to sort of do an about face yesterday. I have a feeling four first downs in the first three quarters against a good defense for sure. But no, 7 carries, 17 yards again of Trubisky's 251 yards passing. 138 of them were the last 4 minutes and 25 seconds of that game. So he had 113 yards passing for almost that entire football game till the flurry at the end. Let's do one more here before the break, Chris.
Okay. Well, this is going to be not much to talk about here. Seattle and at Atlanta, and we don't know about Matt Ryan. And, I see one number up. I'm not even sure it's an active number, but I see one number right now, and it's going to be hard to make without Matt Ryan. Matt Schaub's a backup, a nice veteran, played really well yesterday, but pretty big difference between Schaub and Ryan, and I don't think you'll see any numbers on this game until we get a little bit better of an update on Matt Ryan.
All right, Ryan's right leg, for those who missed it, bent awkwardly when he was sacked by Aaron Donald, fourth quarter of that game yesterday. He fumbled. Donald recovered. Ryan limped off the field. He was escorted to the medical tent, and then he was walked to the locker room, still favoring the ankle. That was with 7:36 remaining in the game. Dan Quinn, head coach Dan Quinn, said he did not know the severity of Ryan's injury. Ryan wore a walking boot in the locker room. That was in Atlanta's loss yesterday. What was the final on that? 37-10. With a cosmetic touchdown there. They had 37-10. Falcons 1-6, their fifth straight loss. So if it's Ryan or if it's Schaub, Schaub was 6-for-6, I think, in relief. If it was Ryan, I would say Seattle -4 on the road. If it's Schaub, it's probably closer to a touchdown. But as you say, we don't have anything.
Yeah, just too big of a disparity right now. Nobody wants to put that out there, including me. I don't want to put it out there until I find out a little bit more. Like I said, Schaub, nice backup. But come on, I mean, as much as Atlanta's had their problems this year, it's not really starting with Matt Ryan. I mean, he's still a pretty good quarterback. They have a lot of other problems on this team, but Matt Ryan is not the main culprit.
You brought up our buddy E moments ago, and I will check the phone in a moment to see what he had to say. But, you know, one of his big pet peeves over the years, he's a guy in Southern California, so he's watched Pete Carroll intimately at USC and beyond. He is not a fan, understatement, not a fan of Pete Carroll. Seattle loses to Baltimore yesterday. They do so by the score of 30-16 in a game that was really marked by two defensive touchdowns for the Ravens. That was the difference. A rare Russell Wilson mistake, a pick six that Marcus Peters in his first game for the Ravens takes back to the house. And then there was a DK Metcalf fumble that was returned for a touchdown with 3:47 left in the fourth quarter that made it a 17-point game and really closed the door on the Seahawks. But think about Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, basically, this is Felica said this yesterday to me via text. He goes, Pete Carroll couldn't stop the 85 Sooners offense yesterday, right? Like, that was just, you know, he's supposed to be a defensive genius. There was no spy. Yeah. There was no rush discipline. And think about the different things that happened in that game, too. He kicks a 53-yard field goal in pouring rain on 4th-and-3 at the Baltimore 35 in a 13-13 tie with 6:51 left in the third quarter. Bad decision. He challenged a PI and lost, of course. Was out of timeouts midway through the second quarter. On and on and on. And so, you know, we talk about handicapping coaches. Pete Carroll is, like, not on my good list at all. And I think he's on a lot of people's good lists. So I think that he's one of these coaches that people are have very different opinions on.
Well, you know, you talked about no spy for Seattle. And Jackson had 14 carries for 116 yards.
Oh, man. He's all.
At some point, you have to make an adjustment, don't you? And by the way, that's not that big of an aberration. The guy is, you know, arguably the best running quarterback in the NFL. I mean, we can make that case.
Well,
come on.
Here's what Jadeveon Clowney said after the game. Quote, I always wanted to play against Michael Vick. I guess I'm getting the new era with Lamar Jackson right there. And, Jeff, what did you say before the off air? What did you say?
He's a better runner than Vick was.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's a better runner. And that's and I'm not – I remember
Vick. Clutch my pearls when
no,
you say something like that.
No, that's just how good Lamar Jackson – there were multiple plays yesterday that were – should have been losses of 7, losses of 8 that he turned into 15 – 20, 25 yards. He was incredible running the ball yesterday.
Yeah, he was. I mean, but man, Michael Vick, generational. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it was phenomenal. But you, so no line basically is what you're saying here, Seattle at Atlanta because of the Ryan.
No line. Like yeah. I said, I see one line at 3.5, but I'm not sure that's an active line. You know, sometimes my screen doesn't put updates when they just scratch a game. So I'm not sure that's an active line or not.
All right, we'll come back. Yeah.
But, you know, is he better than Michael Vick? Boy, that's a big one.
Easy, everybody.
Like I said, he's arguably the best running quarterback in the NFL right now.
Well, for
and
sure.
And you didn't make an adjustment for that? Forget making an adjustment. You should have known before the game that was going to be part of it, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
That was curious. We'll come back. We'll continue more Guessing Lines Week 8. And we'll talk a little baseball here, and then we'll resume Week 8 lines after that. We'll also talk, of course, tomorrow about the National Basketball Association, which gets underway. And our basketball guide is out. You want to get ready for both pro and college basketball seasons with help from your guys in the desert. It's VSiN's first ever NBA guide ready for you to download. JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, did a great job with this, dissecting all 30 NBA teams, projecting the best starting lineups for each, analyzing bench depth, breaking down every team's schedule for betting opportunities. 120-page digital magazine. It'll make you a better handicapper throughout the NBA betting season. And VSiN's first college basketball guide will be out the first week in November. That includes previews of all 32 conferences, a scouting report on every Division I team from Greg Hoops Peterson, top 50 ranking from Matt Humans plus Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, pro and college guides, $9.99 a piece, but buy them together for just $14.99. Details at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. More Guessing Lines with Chrissy Andrews next on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Support for today's show, as always, comes from Bookmaker.eu. As you probably know already from listening to this podcast, they've been an industry leader for close to 30 years. And here's the deal. High-volume sports book that's suited for pro players, yes. But it also caters to large recreational players. And the three things that matter the most, they're first to post odds, they take the highest limits, and they pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player. Never, ever. And that's the truth. A rarer and rarer commodity these days on the global landscape. Bookmaker's motto, where the lines originate. Because chances are, the sportsbook at which you've been betting follows their lines. And right now, once again, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL. You can claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. That's bookmaker.eu/Gill to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300. Do so right now. Best betting experience you can possibly have at bookmaker.eu/Gill.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
We get texts. Lombardi texted me. He goes, why didn't Vrabel challenge the spot? I said, no clue whatsoever. It's as if the refs told him he had no chance at a reversal. Again, I'm just speculating. I'm like, I have no idea why he ate the flag. And then our buddy E, what Chrissy was referring to, he said, I'm no longer a Chargers fan. They deserve all of this bad karma and more. And they employ a coach who couldn't coach a high school tiddlywinks team. So he feels strongly about Anthony Lynn. And he also points out that everyone in San Diego hate roots against them and Spanos. He says he respects Rivers, doesn't want to see him get hurt. And he was the first one to talk about the Rivers no sneak thing. Find me footage of Philip Rivers sneaking. It doesn't exist. Chrissy, let's do one more.
Okay, Jets, we're playing tonight at Jacksonville.
Okay, so Jets unseen here, sight unseen. They are, by the way, I got the Jets tonight. Catching the 9. I'll take the Jets tonight. I think they cover that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to always take a big gulp when you're facing the Patriots, but I will take the Jets tonight. So Jacksonville, they win yesterday in a tight game yesterday for most of the afternoon, but then they pulled away from Cincinnati late. They win it 27-17 and cover. 3 interceptions by the Jags in the fourth quarter, defensive touchdown. The Jags managed only field goals by the still-perfect Josh Lambeau through 3 quarters. They piled up 309 yards in the first half, but had to settle for just 2 field goals. So that game probably should have been a lot wider of a margin than it was. Leonard Fournette, 29-131. Dede Westbrook, 6 catches, 103. They outgained Cincinnati, 460-291. Outrushed Cincinnati, 216-33. By the way, all of those yards from Andy Dalton. We'll get to them. 11 penalties for 133. They did make a lot of mistakes there with flags. So I'll say Jacksonville -3.5 as a placeholder.
You're a little like 4.5.
Hmm.
And not sure. You know,
we'll see tonight.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see tonight. But a lot of money did show on Jacksonville yesterday and throughout the week. And a lot of, you know, sharp money and public money. and Minshew was okay. He wasn't great. He was okay. His QBR, 33.6, which I was surprised it was that low. He had one touchdown, no interceptions, 8 yards per attempt. So I was really kind of surprised that the QBR was that low. I don't know. QBR is one of those. I like looking at it because, like I said, it gives you a different glimpse at some statistics, but I'm not sure what all goes into that formula. Anyway, I really thought Fournette was a key to that game. He had 131 yards himself rushing. He rushed for 216 total, whereas Cincinnati had 33 yards on the ground. Holy cow. And they ran it 20 times.
All from Andy Dalton. The rest of them had zero yards. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really thought that was really the key to the game. And you're right. It probably should have been by a wider margin. And, you know, I mean, everybody knocks Dalton. He probably deserves quite a bit. But I think if he had a better team, you'd probably see a better result out of him. But anyway, I'm probably going to open 4.5 here as a placeholder just because I want to see what the Jets do tonight. I have the Jets myself in a couple contests. I expect them to play well tonight, and if they do, that number will come down. But, wise guys love Jacksonville. They've been in love with them for, like, the last two decades, it seems like. You know, so I'm going to open 4.5 again as a placeholder. But if the Jets play well tonight, and I kind of think they will, I think this number will probably come down.
Remember, we talked about how, guessing lines, we've had New Orleans better than the market did the last 2 weeks. I had them favored the last 2 weeks. We talked about how that Miami line was ridiculous last week. My guess on Jacksonville last week was the biggest difference between my guess and what the market was. I had Jacksonville minus 5.5. It ended up being like minus 3.5 or whatever it was. Jacksonville gets it done. So we'll see how the Jets do tonight. And then that line will, of course, be more appropriately calibrated. We'll come back with Chris Andrews on A Numbers Game exclusively right here at VSiN.
It's A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two, Guessing Lines, Week 8, the National Football League. It is A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, SiriusXM Channel 204. It's Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay, producer number 5, hanging out, licking his wounds from his college football Saturday. Still talking about that. Just to clean up some things. By the way, it's all brought to you by the BetMGM app. Let's make sure we are aware of that. Where first-time bettors can make a $500 risk-free bet. Not $250, not $300. I'm talking $500. Same guys that brought you the Borgata Atlantic City's premier hotel and casino will be with you all season long with a wide variety of betting options. And here's the key. Easy deposit and withdrawal methods. The withdrawal methods are key. Just download the app. Use bonus code VSIN500 at sign up to get your $500 risk-free bet. VSIN500 is what it is. To place your first BetMGM wager risk-free, you can sign up anywhere. But remember, you have to be in the state of New Jersey to actually place the wager. BetMGM, it's how you play the game. Download the app today. 21 or older, New Jersey only. Restrictions apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. BetMGM, that's the BetMGM app. So let's clean up some things. One, on Twitter, I have said out loud many times, find me a Philip Rivers sneak. Warren Sharp has done just that. So thank you to Shy City Brian for pointing this out. Warren Sharp says that he's seen one video of a Philip Rivers sneak. Yes, Parlay, you remember this?
I think I know it.
So here's what Warren had to say. Since 2015, Rivers only has 7 rushes in short yardage situations. Warren saying, I went back to 2015 and watched all 7. Only one of them was an actual quarterback sneak, and he converted it for a first down. Technically, a 100% conversion rate on sneaks, but it was his only conversion. One. So he did find one. So I stand corrected. How dare you? The point remains, it's like it's in his contract. It's as if it's in his contract. No snakes. They didn't even consider it yesterday with him. All right, Chrissy, let's resume. Week 8, let's do the rest of the early games. What's next?
Philadelphia at Buffalo.
All right. This is not an easy line to guess, by the way.
No.
Philadelphia got housed last night. And, that was one of those where, and I didn't end up playing it, but that was one of those on guessing lines. That might have been the exception. That was the one where I was like, wow, I don't think Dallas deserves to be a 3-point favorite here, so let me just raise my hand. This one, my first instinct was wrong on. Philadelphia got destroyed last night, 37-10. Dallas had their tackles back. They had Amari Cooper back, of course. They were kind of at the old full strength, to use the hockey term, and it was just destruction. Carson Wentz, 16 of 26 for 191, one touchdown, one pick. He threw a pick, and had two of Philadelphia's three lost fumbles, also from Carson Wentz. They dropped their second straight game after a two-game winning streak. It was just the second time in 33 winning flips, coin flips that is, that Doug Peterson hadn't deferred in order to start the second half on offense, and it backfired immediately when the Eagles fumbled on their first two possessions, led to a pair of touchdowns from the Cowboys. It was 14-0. The Cowboys started with the ball on the Eagles' side of the field twice in a row, 14-0 before you could blink. By the way, before that, Dallas was the only team in the NFL that hadn't started any drive on the opposite side of the field. But the Eagles allowed Zeke 22 of 111 and a touchdown, 22 for 111 and a touchdown. Dallas finished with 189 yards rushing, 116 more than the average that Philly had given up before. Amari Cooper, 5 catches, 106. Dallas was 8 of 14 on third down, 402 yards of offense. The Eagles were minus 3 in turnovers. They allowed Dallas to snap their three-game losing streak. Anyway, Philadelphia was terrible. And last week I was talking about, like, who are the great quarterbacks in the NFL? And I threw Carson Wentz into that group. I'm not so sure I think I have to remove him, like, as quickly as I put him in there, because I'm not sure this is the pre-injury Wentz we're seeing at all. And then there's Buffalo, who not only was I incredulous about the line against the Dolphins, you know, a week ago, because I had it at 14 and I think or 14 and a half, and it ended up being 17. But when they switched from Josh Rosen to Ryan Fitzpatrick midweek and it didn't move, this was the dumbest line of the week on the Bills. They end up winning by 10. By the way, the Dolphins did everything in their power to try to get a worst push ever on that with a late fumble. But Buffalo, they get it done. Jordan Phillips, big play when he tackled Ryan Fitzpatrick for a 10-yard loss on first and goal from the Buffalo 2. Miami first and goal from the Buffalo 2. And that was one play later. Tre'Davious White made a pick at the 2 to spark a second-half comeback. The Bills rallied from a 5-point deficit to the Dolphins yesterday for a 31-21 win. They're 5-1. It's their best start in 11 years. But they didn't seal it till Micah Hyde, with 1:38 remaining in the game, returned an onside kick for a touchdown one play after Fitzpatrick had scored. Josh Allen did have one nice drive, 12-play, 98-yard drive that followed White's interception. So this is a strange line to make, Philly at Buffalo, because, you know, Philly was terrible. Buffalo was, you know, okay in victory against the Dolphins. Some might even say not good at all. So is it 3? I'll say Buffalo minus 2.5.
It's 1.5. And I like that number better than yours. And I got to tell you right now, I mean, we talk about it, you know, not all the time, but often on this show. The NFL is all about buying low and selling high. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not like you're selling Buffalo high, but you are buying Philly low right now. And they looked awful yesterday. I mean, let's be honest. They looked awful on national TV. That is always going to just sway the public opinion right there. I'm going to open 1.5, but I really kind of like Philly in this spot. Wentz, I'm kind of with you, Gil. I probably would have had him among the best quarterbacks in the league, but I'm not sure where to put him now. I mean, he was responsible for 3 turnovers yesterday, 2 fumbles and an interception. And, you know, is that an aberration or not? You know, I'm not sure, to be quite honest with you. But I do think the rest of the team is pretty good. And I think if Wentz gets right, I do think they're still a legitimate challenger. Now, it's going to be very hard with their record right now to make the playoffs. But I do think they're a challenger to 2 of the best teams in the NFC. I'm going to open 1.5, but I got to tell you right now, I'm kind of leaning towards Philly in this game because I think they're just not as bad as they looked last night.
It would not surprise me one iota if Philadelphia won this game handily, right? Like, just the NFL, this is a matchup could go any. And it wouldn't surprise me if Buffalo did the same, right? This is one of these. This might be the answer to the question, which game do I want no part of next week? This might be that game. Next.
Yeah. Well, we got a few more coming up, so don't rush into that.
Maybe I shouldn't hold it. Yeah, don't hold me to that yet.
Okay, Cincinnati at the Rams.
That's a London game, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All
yes,
right.
It is. I'm sorry.
Cincinnati at the Rams. Cincinnati winless, 0-6. We talked about it. They lost yesterday once again. They did to Jacksonville. Kept with them for a while. Probably should have been down further, but they hung tight, and then they got crushed at the end. Andy Dalton, 22 of 43, 276, 1 touchdown, 3 picks. He had 4 carries for 33 yards and a touchdown. The reason I point that out is because the rest of the Bengals had 16 carries for 0 yards. 16 carries for 0 yards. Alex Erickson, by the way, was his favorite target, 8 for 137. They were outgained by Jacksonville, 460 to 291. They were outrushed by Jacksonville, 216 to 33. Minus 4 in turnovers. They only had the ball for 21 minutes and 42 seconds. They fall to 0-7 for the first time in 11 years. Excuse me, they're 0-6. Are they 0-7 or 0-6? What are the Bengals? They 0-7? 0-7. So they fall to 0-7 for the first time in 11 years. Excuse me. They were booed repeatedly by their home crowd, so maybe they're happy to go to London. Here's some stuff. Miles Jack picked off Dalton at the Jacksonville 10 to preserve the late lead. Yannick Jukwue, am I pronouncing that correctly? Yannick Ngakoue. His interception return of a floating screen pass put it away. When Ngakoue, here's what I wanted to point out about Ngakoue. When he saw Giovanni Bernard in the game, this is what he said after the game. He said he figured Cincinnati was going to throw a screen pass and got in a position to pick it off. Quote, I noticed when Bernard was in the game, they were looking to pass, and when it was Joe Mixon, they were looking to run. So I thought it was going to be a screen. So whenever it's that simple, it tells you something about the Cincinnati Bengals right there. By the way, first five possessions of the game, the Bengals ran 18 plays and managed 20 yards. Your Cincinnati Bengals. The Rams win. Jared Goff, 2 touchdowns, ran for another. Jalen Ramsey's addition to the secondary worked out well yesterday. The defense enjoyed a productive day. 5 sacks, a pick, a fumble, return for a touchdown against the Falcons. Ramsey blanketed Julio Jones, kept him to 6 catches for 93 yards. That worked out well, first returns. Rams are going to stay in Atlanta, for those wondering about travel here. Rams are going to stay in Atlanta to practice at Georgia Tech for a few days before flying to London for the game against the Bengals. Because it's in London, we've talked about this before, it mutes what otherwise would be a bigger spread to me because the travel sort of mitigates it. So I will put it just shy of 2 touchdowns as opposed to 2 touchdowns or greater. I'll say Rams minus 13.
It's 12 and a half or 13.
I might be more prouder about that guess than anything.
Yeah, that's a very good guess. I'm going to open 12 and a half. I think this game will be a little closer than the 13. You kind of mentioned it. It mitigates a lot of the high scoring and the blowout factor sometimes. I'm not sure that's always true, but sometimes. But we talk about some bad coaches. Zach Taylor, is that the guy's name from Cincinnati?
Just looks bewildered. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Where did they get this guy? I mean, he is so bad.
I believe Sean McVay is the answer. Yes.
You know, he is just totally clueless. And like I said, if you have guys on the defensive line that are reading plays like that, you know, come on.
How simple an explanation, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the Brown family, who has owned the Bengals since their inception, is notoriously cheap. And they have taken the city of Cincinnati for a ride for low these many years. And I think this is just one more case. They found a kid that they, you know, probably interviewed well and had some people recommend him. He is not ready to be an NFL coach. And I think there's some guys that grow into their positions, certainly the case, and other guys that just don't have it. So far, I see nothing to tell me that this guy has it. You know, I'm going off on this tirade, and I'm still open 12 and a half instead of 13, because it's kind of both numbers out there. But I'm going to open 12 and a half. Just because I just think 13 is a little too high in this spot. And again, you're buying low on Cincinnati, selling high a little bit on the Rams. And I think this number is a little bit out of hand. I wouldn't go crazy over it, but I'm going to open 12 and a half instead of 13. And there are both numbers around, but I'm going to go with the lower number.
Chrissy, has there been anything yet on the show that I've been like, what was the, I guess Minnesota, Washington is the one I was the furthest off from, but even that doesn't really excite me that much. But nothing yet that like leaps off the page. So I'm wondering if we're going to get to it. Oh, which one, Jeff?
I was going to say, I think we're on our way to getting there.
You predict I'm going to fall flat on my face. Well, maybe that's a good thing as it's been the last couple of weeks. What's next, Chris?
Arizona at New Orleans.
Let's
just say, yeah, Drew Brees is upgraded to questionable. And so is Alvin Kamara for New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, let's remember that about the New Orleans win yesterday. I think that's a good thing to point out. There was no Alvin Kamara, right? And there was no Jared Cook. Alvin Kamara with an ankle and a knee, Jared Cook with an ankle. So Teddy Bridgewater didn't have them at his disposal yesterday, and they still crushed the Bears. The Saints go to 5-0 without Drew Brees in their 36-25 win over the Bears, which, by the way, that score, in case you're wondering, very cosmetic. It was helped along by an onside kick late. It was much more of a blowout than that. Latavius Murray, 27 carries, 119 yards, two touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Bear, 23 of 38 for 281, two touchdowns, no picks. Michael Thomas, 9 catches, 131. The Saints were 7 of 15 on third down, outgained the Bears, as we mentioned, 424 to 252. On the ground, they outgained them 151 to 17. And again, a time of possession mismatch, 37-26 to 22-34. As far as the Cardinals, who beat the Giants and did so as 3.5-point dogs in the end, Kyler Murray, the up-and-down first year of Kyler Murray continues. 14 of 21 for 104. No touchdowns, no picks. Did you have Chase Edmonds going in your fantasy league? Chase Edmonds, 27 carries for 126 and three touchdowns. Cardinals were 7 of 15 on third down. They were 1 for 1 on fourth downs. I mean, that's been Kyler Murray's thing. Third downs, he is... been really good. 10 penalties, though, for the Cardinals for 85 yards. They were plus 3 in turnovers versus the Giants. Their third straight win. They were 0-3-1. Now they're 3-3-1. They had 8 sacks, as I mentioned, of Daniel Jones, 4 of them, and a forced fumble from Chandler Jones. That said, because you're right, Drew Brees, I even mentioned this last week, Drew Brees was thinking about, or at least the Saints have been floating through reports anyway, that Brees might want to come back for this game, which is right before their bye week, when most would have sort of assumed they'll just wait him out through the bye week. And Drew Brees says he hasn't told anybody yet. He's said to people, I know when I'm coming back. So this could very well be Drew Brees. Maybe it'll be Teddy Bear again. I don't know. But I'll say New Orleans by 2 touchdowns here at the Superdome.
Wow, you're a little high. It's 9.5.
Really?
Yeah.
I will lay that all day long.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in this one. Now, they numbers up with or without Drew Brees. And, you know, I believe these are accurate numbers. I mean, like I said, sometimes on my screen, I'm not sure if a scratch.
Wait a minute.
They scratch the game on my screen.
How is that only 9? Or 9.5, whatever you said.
I don't know.
Give me the Saints. Mm-hmm. Give me the Saints.
Yeah.
You with me, Parlay?
I'm with you.
For what it's worth, Gil, one other shop in town opened to 7.5.
You'd stop it.
So no, I'm just saying. It's opened at 7.5 at other places in town.
Chris,
so
what league am I watching here? What's going on here?
Well, you know, I've been anti-Murray really since day one. And, you know, he's been much, much better than I anticipated. Much better. I'll give him that. But so is New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans, like I said yesterday, a lot of wise guy money showed up. And I'm not sure it was really on Chicago as much as it was against New Orleans because of their injuries. But this team has proven to be really, really good. And I have one very sharp bettor. I don't want to mention his name, but a lot of people would know exactly who it is, who bet me on the Saints to win the NFC. He had a pretty good price on him, and he bet me on that. But I think he might be right. I think this might be the best team in the NFC.
He might be.
And we've been seeing this without Drew Brees, who's, mm-hmm. you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm going to open 10. And listen, you never know what goes through the mind of a guy who's as competitive as Drew Brees. He's 40 years old, still playing pretty good football. So I don't want to question, like I said, the personality, the, you know, what made him what he is today. But they're nuts if they play in this game. You know, I mean, I would go with Teddy. You know, I don't think they would need him to win this game. Teddy's doing just fine. He's not Drew Brees yet, you know, but he's doing just fine. And, you know, give Brees the extra week off, and then you got the bye after that. So you know you're going to get a healthy Brees coming back. But I'm going to open this game 10. And we'll see where they go from there.
Yeah, they're doing it with offense. They're doing it with defense. They're doing it with special teams. Well-rounded football team. That's the first headline line of today. That's for sure. Because I think that's
and
way
really well coached too. By the way,
and really well coached. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do the last early game.
Okay, Oakland at Houston.
Oakland at Houston. Houston, who we mentioned, or maybe we didn't mention. Houston yesterday. They lose to the Indianapolis Colts in what was probably the biggest game of the day, just in terms of a divisional game. Indianapolis with a 30-23 win. Houston, for their part, let's just focus on them. Deshaun Watson, 23 of 34, 308, one touchdown, two picks, sacked three times. How many times have we said the Deshaun Watson retroactive box score? And you could say this about a lot of guys, but it's really stark when it comes to Watson. When he is clean, they win. When he is not, it tends to be multiple sacks. So we get three here for Deshaun Watson. DeAndre Hopkins, 9 catches, 106 for a touchdown. Stills, 4 catches for 105. But the Texans, 10 penalties, 54 yards. They were held to field goals on 3 red zone trips in the first half. Had to contend with a rare in-the-grasp call that took one touchdown off the board, overturned replay review that put another one on the board for Indy, and a plethora of penalties, as I mentioned. Fourth quarter, Houston started it by failing to convert a second 4th-and-1 attempt. Then Deshaun threw an interception on the Texans' next series before Darius Leonard sealed the win by picking off a tip pass with 26 seconds left. So Houston loses. They drop to 4-3. Oakland, look, the end of that first half was everything in that game. Everything, right? And Derek Carr has done this before. It's the old reach over the goal line to try to get a touchdown, and the ball he loses possession. It goes through the end zone, doesn't, you know, fumble out of bounds in play on the field, on the playing field, but through the end zone. And the NFL rule, which to me is the dumbest rule in sports, gives the ball to the opposing team. I do not understand the logic of that, because you are incentivized to reach over. And if you're incentivized to reach over, the Drew Brees wave kind of thing, then that does it. Just get the ball, give the Raiders the ball back at the 20 or something. But to it change possession, it's just a rule that makes no sense to me. So Derek Carr, instead of the Raiders making this a close game, they're down 14-10 at the time, and Carr puts them in position to retake the lead with a 48-yard completion down the middle to Waller, gave Oakland first and goal at the 4, the second down scramble then by Carr at the pylon. Blake Martinez forces the fumble, goes through the end zone for a touchback. The next time Oakland basically got the ball, they did get one play, because this was with seconds left, because immediately Green Bay goes down and scores with seconds left in the first half. So instead of it being 17-14 Raiders, it's 21-10 Packers. The Raiders have only time for one nonsense play at the end of the first half. Green Bay gets the ball first in the second half. They score again. It's 28-10. A 17-14 to 28-10 shift. 17-14 Raiders to 28-10 Packers. That's the game. It's over. And the Raiders fall to 3-3. I'll say Houston by 6 at Houston.
You're a little light. It's 6.5. And, boy, I'll tell you what. You know, it was not a big game for the South Point. You know, we were pretty even on that. The early money was on the Raiders. Late money came back on the Packers. So we were pretty much dead even on the game. But I had Oakland in a couple of contests, so I was rooting for Oakland. I wanted to kill Carr yesterday. I mean, I hate that play. And we can debate the rule all you want. I mean, that's not the point. The point is, that is the rule.
Yeah.
And he did it last year. And, again, by the way, it's with his offhand, which is with his left hand. So you just assume that his right hand is going to be a little stronger. But so it's his left hand that he's reaching over like that. And I remember last year he said after a game, somebody asked him, would you do that again? I would do it the exact same way.
Oh, I hate that.
I'm like, oh, so you're confirming that you're an idiot. You didn't learn anything. Well, yesterday was another confirmation that he didn't learn a damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, he did the exact same thing, again, with his offhand, reaching it like that. So, I mean, they'd have 3rd and goal from, like, the 1-inch line. That's not a bad position to be in. Oh, my God. I mean, it was such a stupid play, and I can tell you this. I am now totally off Carr. I mean, I hope they don't re-sign him for the same, you know, because, well, I would TP his house when he's living in Henderson or Southern Highlands. He's never going to make it to Las Vegas. Gruden's going to kill this guy.
Not
only get to Vegas.
Not only is Chrissy coming back to Vegas, he's TPing houses, for God's sake.
Yeah. Wow. No, somebody tweeted that to me. I'm not TPing anybody. I'm too old to do that stuff. But, you know, I mean, that is just such a dumb play. And like I said, I didn't hear his comments after this game. But after the last time he did it, he said, I would do the exact same thing. Well, I'm sorry. That is just dumb football.
Can I?
And that's enough of my tirade. I am opening 6.5, and I, you know, as long as Carr's there, that'll never be a winning team. I'm sorry, they will not win with this guy.
I'm not absolving John Gruden. Like, I mean, if only he had a coach. You think if Bill Belichick was his coach, you think he'd ever do that again after the first time? No, Belichick would sit him down. You ever do that again, and yeah. You're out of here. You're out of here for good. Not John Gruden. Yeah. John Gruden, yeah, keep doing it. Yeah, it's good football. Come on.
Oh,
stop it.
You know, I hate to say, because the guy was much, much better than Carr, but Brett Favre had some horrible, horrible mistakes in his career. Throwing, ill-advised passes that resulted in turnovers. And I remember after games, he was, that's the way I play. I'm going to keep playing my game. You know, he'd have been so much better if somebody would have just throttled him and said, no, that is not, we know how great you are. And he was a great quarterback, tremendous talent. But he made some dumb plays over his career.
He did.
And listen, he won one Super Bowl. If he was a smarter quarterback, he'd have three or four in his pocket. But he only has one.
I agree with that. At least more than one, for sure. Yeah.
At least more than one. Yeah, at least more than one. And, you know, I see some of these guys, and, you know, and again, part of it is their mental attitude that it made them so great. But Carr is not that great, by the way. And he should learn to play this game a little better, because that was just a stupid, stupid play.
We'll come back. We'll do the afternoon games. Week 8, Guessing Lines, right here with Chrissy Andrews on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
If you've been thinking about subscribing to VSiN's All Access plan, rather, now's the time to make the move. We've got a special midseason offer, $99 for everything we do from now through the Super Bowl. Everything, Parles? We got the Las Vegas Invitational in here as well? Is that part of it? Means you get 16 issues of Point Spread Weekly, our digital magazine, our NBA betting guide, which is out right now, plus VSiN's upcoming betting guides for the start of the college basketball season and college football bowls, 24/7 video stream plus replays. New popular benefit, you'll get an afternoon email summarizing the plays from hosts and guests throughout the day as well. All for just $99. Good through the Super Bowl. If you're not sure yet, there's an option for a free trial as well. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for details. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jeff, you wanted to make a scheduling comment here. Are we out of order? Did something happen?
Yeah, an NFL scheduling swap. So that the last game we just talked about, that will be a 4:25 East, 1:25 Pacific. That Oakland Texan game was flipped with Indy and Denver. Indy and Denver goes at 1:00 East.
Chrissy, kidding. Just scolding Chrissy. Okay, so there's a flip in a schedule. All right, so let's do. So what's next?
What was 6 days to get the schedule right, Gil. That's right. So we'll be okay.
Yeah, we'll be all right. All right, so what's the next game then?
Carolina at San Francisco.
Carolina at San Francisco. San Francisco undefeated. They beat the Redskins 9-0 in the slop. FedEx Field, as the Niners were just slip sliding in the rain yesterday. 6-0 for the third time in franchise history, first since 1990. Kyle Shanahan, he remembers from being OC in DC that FedEx Field surface is not good, especially in inclement weather. The San Francisco D, after holding the Rams to 7 points last week, the Browns to 3 before that, Niners are the first team now since 2005 and 6 since 1990 to limit an opponent to 7 or fewer points in fewer than 200 net yards of offense 3 straight games. More than half the people there, Niners fans yesterday at FedEx Field, a trend that the Redskins are oh so familiar with. Even a Let's Go Niners chant broke out at some point. So, way to go, DC. You still have the Mystics and maybe the Nets. And then Carolina off the bye.
How about the Capitals?
And the Capitals, 1 year removed, but we'll still say the Caps. Yeah. By the way, Caps, a little sneaky futures play, I think, of the NHL this year. Carolina's coming off a bye. They, when we last saw them, were beating Tampa Bay in London. San Francisco -4.5, Chris.
Oh, okay. It's 5.5.
Okay.
And tell you the truth, I thought that was a little light. I think I'd like the 6 better. I mean, I think I'm going to open at 6. Take a bet. Carolina coming off a bye. That's probably going to help them. I agree with that. I'm starting to believe in the San Francisco team. What's the weakest link on their team? Might be Jimmy Garoppolo. And they have a good running game. They have a great defense. I think this team's very, very legit. And I'm going to open 6. I think that's a little bit better number. I think this number is going to go up myself.
I got them to win the West +395 before the season, highly considering a NFC or Super Bowl play on them as well.
Yeah.
All right, what's another afternoon game?
Denver at Indianapolis.
This is the one that's actually in the morning now, Jeff? Okay, so Denver, Indianapolis, originally scheduled for afternoon, is now a morning game. Denver coming off a bye. Excuse me. Extra rest. Pardon me.
Thursday.
Yeah, extra rest. They lose to Kansas City badly on Thursday. And then there's the Colts, who we talked about, who beat the Texans. Jacoby Brissett. I'm going to say it again, Chrissy. I know you want to leap through the phone and choke me. Is it really that big a drop-off from Andrew Luck? 26 of 39.
Yes, it is.
26 of 39 for 326. Four touchdowns, no picks. Career high in touchdowns. Six of his incompletions were throwaways, so make it 26 of 33 if you want to do that. He had a career best in passing total and yards, a career best passer rating, 126.7. Zach Pascal, by the way, is biggest target, 6 of 106, two touchdowns. Yeah. They were 8 of 16 on third downs, were the Colts. Colts by a touchdown, minus 7.
6.5. I'm not sure I don't like your number better, but I see a 6.
6.5.
Faraway place that I highly respect.
Give me the Colts.
Ooh. Yeah, I think I like your number better. Although, like I said, I'm going to respect them with their number at 6. And I'm opening 6.5. And that's what I see primarily, at 6.5. I see 1-7 with a bunch of juice on the dog, which kind of translates to a 6.5 anyway. So I'm going to open at 6.5. But I'll tell you, if I see this one creeping higher, I will creep it higher my own self.
I will creep it higher my own self.
Because I don't think Denver's a very good team. And I think Indianapolis is really a very legit team. And since we're on the subject of quarterback, if they'd have had this kind of a team when Andrew Luck was playing, Andrew Luck would still be playing. And by the way, let me remind you, well, we had we put up the MVPs before the season, betting on the MVP. He was the second choice behind Mahomes. So, yes, there's a difference. But all that being said, I like Jacoby Brissett. He's done really well and really gotten better and better as the year's gone on. And I think he's a legitimate starting quarterback.
Ladies and gentlemen, noted Andrew Luck advocate and apologist, Chris Andrews, my dear friend.
I don't have to apologize for Andrew Luck. He's fine.
I will tell you this. For me, the debate was 7 or 7.5. So for you to say 6.5, that surprises me on that game.
Yeah, you like Indy. I kind of do too.
Yeah,
I kind of do too.
All right. So what's the last afternoon game then?
Cleveland at New England.
Okay, so not much to say here. Cleveland off a bye. New England, sight unseen tonight. They play the Jets. They're 9.5 road favorites. 9.5 point. I even see some tens out there. Really, depending on where you go at the Jets tonight. I don't know. It's going to be more than a touchdown. So, again, we haven't seen the Patriots yet. The Patriots are not, though they're undefeated, they look like they have some chinks in the armor. I mean, I'll say it's 7.5. I'm probably too light there, but it's got to be more than a touchdown. I'll just say 7.5 as a placeholder.
Yeah, you're way light. It's 10.5.
Hmm.
You know, it's probably a pretty good spot for Cleveland.
Yeah, if it's 10.5, I may play Cleveland. Yeah.
Yeah, and New England coming off the short rest because they're going to be playing tonight and coming right back. Is Belichick going to fall prey to that short rest? Probably less than any other coach, but still, his players will. I mean, there's not some sort of magic formula in New England. I mean, those guys are going to be a little bit more sore throughout the week than they will be in Cleveland, who is just, like I said, coming off a bye and just going to have their regular practices. I think the 10.5 is probably a shade too high, but even tonight, I got some big exposure on New England. And I have a feeling, I think we're at 9.5 on the game. I'm going to probably go to 10 after this once I get the what ifs, because I think they're going to be highly in favor of me needing the dog. So I'm going to open 10.5. We never have to beg too much for New England money. And I have a feeling we won't have to beg for it next week either.
So if you want New England, if you want to bet New England at the South Point, run quickly in the next 20 minutes before Chrissy posts them for the next game.
I would say, yeah, you got 22 minutes.
Yeah. The only thing I would say about me, if it's 10.5, I gravitate towards Cleveland. It would go against everything I stand for, right? I would be betting on Freddie Kitchens against Bill Belichick. So, like, I can't. Come on, I can't.
You're saying there's a coaching difference there, Gil? That's the theme that I'm picking up?
Might be a little something. We'll come back. We'll do the primetime game Sunday night, Monday night, week 8 in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, 25 of 31 for 429, five touchdowns and a pick. Oh, excuse me, five touchdowns, no picks, ran for another. It is the first perfect passer rating of Aaron Rodgers' career. Can you believe that? 158.3, season high for the Packers in points in that game. Even with Devontae Adams out, by the way. No Devontae Adams. Green Bay still puts up 42 points in that ball game. 42-24 winners. Valdez-Scantling, two catches, 133 and a touchdown. And then Kansas City will be Matt Moore, not Patrick Mahomes. They'll be on extra rest, but they won't have their MVP quarterback. So because of that quarterback change, as we talked about, what's the difference between Mahomes and Moore? It's a bunch of points. It's more than a touchdown. Yeah. So I'll say it's Green Bay minus three on the road.
It's four.
Wow.
And I'm not sure I disagree with that. I kind of like the four. By the way, I mentioned QBR an awful lot. So it's 1 to 100 or 0 to 100. And Rodgers was 97.2. Certainly the highest of the week. There may be some higher. It's pretty hard to get 100. Hard to get. And I remember seeing some 98s and stuff out there over the years. But that's a pretty darn good passer rate, QBR. And I'm trying to think, what do you got to do to get 100? Because he was unbelievable yesterday. Certainly his best game of the year. Without his main receiver. Although, what's the one guy had a big game? That's my notes here.
Valdez-Scantling.
Valdez-Scantling. Two catches, but 133 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I ever heard of him before yesterday. You know, but he certainly made some big plays. So anyway, Green Bay 4. I see a stray. I even see 1-3 with some juice on the favorite. I see some 3.5, but I like 4. Listen, I don't think Kansas City, number one, I don't think they're the home field advantage that we've been used to over the years for giving them that much credit. And there's an article about one of the newspapers got a hold of me, talked about home field advantage. This really hasn't been that prevalent in the NFL this year, and I think there's a lot of reasons for that, coaching being one of them, the way teams travel being another one. But I don't think that's a huge home field advantage for Kansas City here, certainly not in this spot. And more, I mean, you know, the guy's been around. He's capable, but, again, he's not great. You kind of know what we're getting with him. I think 4 is plenty. And, again, you're probably buying Green Bay a little bit high, but I'm not sure that's not the right price. I think I like 4 in this game.
All right, Jeff tells me, because Jeff knows my guesses in advance. Jeff tells me that this game, this Monday night game, is my most far-off guess of the year coming up. So the matchup is who again?
Miami and Pittsburgh.
Okay. Pittsburgh coming off a bye. Miami coming off their loss to the Bills yesterday, but covering. And we talked about the Dolphins last week. No way I thought it should be that number of 17, especially midweek when it shifted from Josh Rosen to Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins end up covering. Almost snatched a push from the jaws of a cover, but should have covered easily, and they do end up covering. So Ryan Fitzpatrick yesterday, 23 of 35, 282, one touchdown, one pick, against the Bills, one of his seven former teams. The Dolphins were up 14-9 after two consecutive 75-yard drives engineered by Fitzpatrick. Cut the Bills' lead to 24-21 with a touchdown scamper later. By the time it was over, the Bills' six-game streak of not giving up more than 17 points was snapped, and the Bills' first time this year they've not held an opponent 250 yards passing. Actually, 14 games in a row. So that's what Fitzpatrick did. He exceeded that number. Miami loses. Worst start since it lost its first seven in 2011. But his performance yesterday, again, after they were outscored 180-42 over their first five games, you know, that should drive it home to people. This is a serviceable quarterback. I know he throws it all around the yard, but it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not Josh Rosen. They out-first down the Bills 24-17. They were 7 of 13 on third downs, 2 of 2 on fourth downs. They outgained Buffalo 381-305. They were minus 2 in turnovers. Brian Flores says, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're starting next week. I have Pittsburgh minus 7.5. Jeff just laughed at me.
As soon as you said that, I knew you were worried. I wish somebody would have tapped into my brain because I knew you were going to make it 7.5. I knew it. It's 14.5 or 15.
Come on. Come on.
I even see 116 with quite a bit of juice on the dog. So we should probably call that 15 or 15.5. Yeah. 14.5 or 15 is the general number. Let me just say this. Not that your number's right. I don't think it's right. But this is way too high.
Way too high.
Way too
high. Stop
it.
Yeah. What are we doing?
And I say this is a Steeler fan. I mean, even like I've had dogs over the years where I've got them in black and gold. So that I can have Steve. I named my one dog Rooney after the Rooney family. So I am a Steeler fan, period. This is way too high. Way too high.
This is not only my furthest off guess of the year, this is my furthest off guess of all time in the history of guessing lines.
I think so. In other words, you're getting a one game teaser if you play Miami, according to your number, right?
Yeah. Chris, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll go through the games that we love the most.
Okay.
I'll have something else to say about this. It's coming up on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
I'm just going
to
point it out. Laugh every Monday when you want. All of these have come our way, or the results have proven us right consistently on guessing lines this year. That's my farthest off guess of all time. Chrissy, what are you finally putting up the Pittsburgh line at officially?
I'm going to use 14 just because I see it as high as 15 in a couple spots. But I'm going to over 14. I know they're going to bet me. That's fine. That's what we're here for. So come on in and lay the 14. If you're a believer, you might not get a better number all week. But like I said, as a Steeler fan, that's just too high.
My line's better. Between you and me, it's better. I'm taking Pittsburgh. I'm taking Miami because it's absolutely ridiculous. I'll take them for a second straight week. I'm taking New Orleans because I think that's way low.
Yep.
It's only 10 against the Cardinals. And I'm taking the Colts. If you're telling me that the Colts are 6.5 against the Broncos off the key number of 7, I will take the Colts all day long. So those are the three I like the best. You?
Boy, I would have to agree with you on all three of those. You know, I really think you're right. You know, I like, in addition to those three, I like Tennessee. I think this number really should have been a solid 3. It's really 2.5. I think that's what I'm going to open because I have a lot of time to make an adjustment. If I put up 3, I know which way they're betting. I like Philly. Not a numbers play, but I just think it's, like I said, you're buying low, selling high a little bit. A little bit on Buffalo, but you're definitely buying low on Philadelphia. And then the 3 that you mentioned, I like those myself. And I kind of like San Francisco a little bit, too. I think that number's a little cheap.
Chrissy, I love you. Thank you so much, man. We'll do it again next week. Always fun.
Yes, sir. Hopefully I will see you this week.
Yes. The return of Chris Andrews.
Hopefully.
Thank you to everybody.
Hopefully. Keep those fingers crossed.
Thank you to everybody for listening. Yeah. Good luck with all your bets tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.